Blog Talk Radio.
The prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah went on to write in the 50th chapter, verse 5 through 7, the Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. These are the words of our Savior. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I said, I set my face like flint. I wasn't sure just what it meant. The prophet said he would be sent, the one who set his face like flint. For God so loved was his cry. Jesus knew he came to die. He was tempted and he was tried. He'd hear his own yell, crucify. He set his face like flint. He set his face like flint. Christ who died, he did no wrong. Amazing grace is his song. He knew that he was sent, so we can set our face like flint. Face like flint. He set his face like flint. He suffered more than tongue can tell. He saved us from a devil's hell. Oh Lord, I give myself away. I set my face like flint today. I set my face like flint. So set your face like flint. He set his face like flint.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we're going into chapter 21 of the book written by Sister Bobby Lively. We're starting chapter 21 of The Woolly Worm. If you've missed any of the past chapters, all you have to do is go to the archives and you can listen to them from the web page or download to any smart device for free. We want to thank all of you that have voiced about how much that you have been enjoying this book. What is so great about our reading of this great book, Sister Bobby Lively is reading the book, and she is adding comments and taking questions from listeners on the recordings. We are already starting to get a little sad that the book is getting so close to coming to an end. I know I am. If you would like to make a comment or ask a question, all you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. And now let's hear from Blog Talk Mom, Lyrical Lively.
Well,
hello.
How are you? So glad. Can you hear me?
I can.
I've got my phone sort of hooked up to this holder, and so I didn't know if it was going to work that well. But I appreciate the opportunity and privilege to be on your Blog Talk program and to share this 21, to think that we have completed 20 chapters. That's a lot, and I really appreciate the kind words that you've said and the feedback I've had from others and the opportunity and privilege. It is such a great privilege to do this with you and my son, Wild Bill. It just means so much to me, and it makes this holiday season extremely special, and I love you for it, and I look forward to, really, y'all said, I'm looking forward to completing it. Maybe I can write another book really quickly or something, but thank you again, and if you want me to, I can begin with chapter 21. It's Chosen to be a Soldier, and anytime you want to mute me and come in and give your wonderful opinion on things or insight, I would love that. I really like the feedback. On the back of the book, on the cover of the book with the woolly worm, I wrote something. I'd like to share that. It's the woolly worm is about the metamorphosis. It's the little worm, and he has many parts of him. The instars are the little caterpillars. I've mentioned that before, but it's from one to the other. And if you think of yourself as I do, there's so many seasons in my life, so many situations, you go from one to the other and you grow. And you really, it's between me and God. Now, I receive a lot from other people, and I love ministry, and I love testimonies. But if I want to change, if I want to be what God has designed me to be, then I must go to him and be obedient to what he calls me to do. You don't really look at a little caterpillar and see a butterfly or see a moth. You see a caterpillar. And many times we look at people or people look at us, and they don't really see the finished product. We're all working at some level, and we are to love each other. We are to be prayerful, and I want to mention, hopefully, before the program is over, a couple of situations where God has definitely intervened for people. At the close, I want to talk a little bit about Sister Nona Freeman, one of the grandest people I have ever met in my life. I'll tell more details about her life, but there was an occasion as she was going into Africa, and that's where she was a missionary for, I think, 59 years, and she and her husband did a tremendous work. But on one occasion, the people that were leading her through accidentally went the wrong way. For whatever reason, they went into a tribe of cannibals. This was very, very dangerous, very serious. And everyone panicked except Sister Nona Freeman. And she knew that if God led them there, or if they were there, it was because God led them there. And as the occasion, the interaction began to take place, she was standing at just a raised area, like a platform, but not really a platform. And she began to teach about the Lord, about our God. And she had an interpreter, and she was telling about the creator of the world and how much he loved us. And as she was talking, all of a sudden, all of the tribes people of that area began to weep. And then they went down on their faces and began to pray, earnestly seeking God. Story goes that there was a great revival in that area of Africa. She found out later that she did not know it, but as she had begun to speak, there was nothing underneath her. She was up in the air, totally being held by the Spirit of God. And naturally, this made an impression upon those that were listening to her. But it was her faith, it was her trust in the living God that turned this around. We're going to talk, yes, for sure, about being a soldier, but apply it not so much to the flesh, and the flesh is involved, but to our spiritual walk with our God, who loved us so much that he planned the whole thing for our benefit. He wasn't going to leave us comfortless or without power, but the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Ghost, is given to us to dwell within us, to empower us to face any and every situation that will ever come our way. Grand, grand testimonies have been given. And even the beautiful stories that Wild Bill shared for all of about the Apostle Paul, about how his change came about. But he told his beautiful stories. They weren't stories. They were the author, Almighty God, inspired him to write 13 books of the New Testament. But was he not going through being stoned and beaten and left for dead and thrown in prison? But yet, his words are full of victory, because nothing can defeat us, ever. Nothing, if we keep in the living God. And these are the scriptures that I trust that I'll be able to have time to share with you, and hope that anybody that's listening, you'll get you a notepad. And if you don't have the book, you can get the book, I believe. I'm trying to work that out so I don't give you the wrong direction to get it, but it is available. So the first part of the book, this chapter, is I'm relating to a beautiful, wonderful story about Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a tremendous, tremendous missionary. I've read her books, and years ago, probably 40 or more years ago, I was teaching a class with children, and we had flannel graph and pictures, and this particular lesson was on prayer. And Amy Carmichael, I had the flannel graph, and I was telling the story to the children. And Amy Carmichael wrote in her, she wrote this account that when she was very small, her mother would take her aside and they would have beautiful prayer meetings. And her mother taught her that God would answer prayer, that she could have in God and believe. And so Amy had beautiful, beautiful brown eyes, but her mother had beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. And Amy thought one night, after her mother and she had prayed, that I would like to have blue eyes. And my mother said, if I asked God, I would get it. So she ended her prayer quietly to the Lord that she would like to wake up with blue eyes. So the next morning, she bounced out of bed, went over to where the mirror was. She had to pull up a chair so she could see. And she looked into those beautiful brown eyes. They were not blue. And she had a meltdown. She began to cry and weep. even almost screaming. Her mother rushed in there and said, "Amy, what is wrong? Did you tell me that if I asked God, he would give it to me? He would answer me. You told me he would answer me. I asked for blue eyes, and I got brown eyes." And Amy's mother took her in her arms and held her. Said, "Yes, God answers prayer. Sometimes he says no." And in my life, I can relate. I'm almost 83. And there have been times I really prayed for certain things. With all my heart, I thought, you know what? God said no. And as seasons of my life have passed, I know without a doubt that's exactly the answer that not only I needed, but everyone else involved needed. So when you pray, add this one ingredient, trust. Trust the Lord with all of your heart, and you will be a soldier that will win. And so I want to share that with you because so many of us are hurting. Maybe we are disappointed. We can even allow the enemy, demonic influences, to accuse us, to torment us over things. But if we trust that when we see the storm coming, we just smile and sing. But he's the master of the wind. He is the master of every situation. So in the book, I wanted to share another story. When I guess it was, maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, there was a change in my life. And I was, I felt like, going to be a pastor of a church. We'd started a beautiful church and started a Christian school. And it just seemed to be perfect. But there was a series of illnesses in my family. My mom was not, she just needed me. My dad was going to pass away through that illness. And her mother had passed away. And so I left the church, and I was trying to take care of my own family situation also. And as I was there, certain things happened and transpired so that when I came back, I no longer was able to keep the church. It had moved on to someone else and the school. But all of that time ago, and then Wild Bill and Sister Starla invited me up to stay with them, and we visited a church, and I may have shared this before, but it so goes with this. And it was a beautiful church, a wonderful fear to the Lord. And while Bill and I were going to get to share part of the service, the pastor was a young man, and he walked to the pulpit, and he pointed to me, and he asked the others in the congregation to notice me. I was going to be a speaker, so I thought he was just getting ready to introduce me. And he said, "This lady right there is the reason that I'm living for God." And I'm not saying that to say, "Wow, look at me." What I'm saying is that I knew him. I was his pastor when all of the turmoil took place, when everything seemed like went upside down in my life. I could look at that young pastor and hear his wonderful words of encouragement, because we see through a glass darkly. We do not understand things. So the word is trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. This is the plan that the Lord has for us. There's a scripture in Philippians 3:13-14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." One of the songs the Lord gave me during that time, I just love the way the Lord has given me, I think, 60 different songs, and then allowed them to become, a lot of them, involved in the rap songs that I really recommend. If you're listening, please go to YouTube. It's Lyrical Lively, L-Y-R-I-C-A-L. Lively is my last name. And as I was telling you the story about leaving the church, the door opened up for me to go to the Arctic. And I was so thrilled to be able to minister to the Inuit people. After I returned to the United States, I was also invited to go into inner city, the Poindexter Park in Jackson, Mississippi. At that point, God gave me the rap, which is a combination of rhyme and rhythm and the Word of God. And God has allowed the first one to go all over the world, which is singing the Word. What does the Word say? So anyway, back to this song, Holy Ghost Fire, where he brought me out, he set me free. He placed his fire inside of me. He picks me up and he turns me around and he sets my feet on solid ground. Now I want to stop and tell you and remind you, this is for you, not just me. This is the Word of God. God brings us out of darkness and sets us free, makes us free. He gives us Holy Ghost fire, places it inside of us. He will pick us up, think about it, and turn us around. You know, repentance is turning. That's what it is. It's turning. But you know how we do it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. We turn, we choose, we're willing, but it's God's power that picks us up and turns us around. Solid ground puts a smile on my face. I love that one. When you're 83, you need a smile all the time. And he lifts me up by his grace, takes my grief, and gives me joy. He takes my sickness, takes my pain. He breaks my chains. He breaks my chains. Not just once, but when chains of darkness, chains of sickness, chains of financial problems, chains of whatever situation, God will break it loose and set us free. Every example that God has given us in the Word of God is that he is a chain breaker. And, oh, I praise God for that. I guess it was in the 60s, the Jesus movement, some call it Jesus freaks, but it was an awesome move of the Lord. And it was young people, and they were starting these recovery homes where they allowed people to get off drugs and didn't have any background or no one to really turn to. They would gave them homes. And I loved it. It inspired me like nothing else had so far in my whole life. And the ones that were involved in it, the singers, they were on the streets, they were witnessing, and this was my heart. This is what I wanted to do, but I just never did really find the focus on how to do it or, you know, to really get involved in it, which I am absolutely now, and I love our recovery classes and jail services. I didn't go last evening preparing for some other things that I'm involved in with the school, but they said that two received the Holy Ghost, and there was just a mighty move of God. They were singing, and they actually wanted to pray for the preacher, the teachers, and it was just wonderful. So God is moving. You can't lock him out. If you want him, wherever you are, he will be there. And during that time, there was a particular singer, or he was a, I don't know that he actually sang. Terry Clark was his name. And Sister Kaiser introduced me to his songs and told me his story. He was in a war. He was in whatever war it was. And he saw and was a part of so many hideous, horrific things that he literally had a nervous breakdown. But it was worse than that. He totally just went out. And the doctors took him in, and they examined him, and they worked with him, and they took him through everything they could, and they said, they wrote on his report that he's gone. There's no hope for him. He can't return from where he is. And so they have him in a place, hospital or wherever, and the Lord goes to him and speaks to his heart. And he said, Terry, everything was so horrible and so vicious and so sickening that you stepped out. You weren't going to be a part anymore. But he said, Terry, when it was so horrible that only my blood, only like the song that we did at the very beginning, only Almighty God in Christ setting his face like a flint, allowing all of those things that we know came to pass when Jesus was born and crucified. This was all for you and me. He came into this world. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, he came to set us free. And when before he ever left the disciples, he told them, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is going to be poured out. And on the day of Pentecost, when they went together to pray, it is recorded prophetically, as it said in the prophet Joel. I mean, it had come to pass. The Holy Ghost fell upon thousands, falling every day upon those that will just lift their heart and believe. It's available for you and for me, purchased by the sacrifice of our Savior. Terry Clark was absolutely restored. They took him back to the doctor and they said, we don't see anything wrong with any part of his mind. He was absolutely restored and then went forth ministering, working for the Lord, for the kingdom. And if you can look up his songs, you will be greatly blessed. So there's so many testimonies like that that I've been privileged to know people and to know their lives. Pastor Jean Holland, she passed away this past year, or was year before last, and she was the pastor of the church I now attend. And it is one of the most loving, giving, kind, faithful, Christ-like churches that you could ever ask for. It's constantly reaching for those that are in need and offering help and supplying the need. When Sister Holland, before she had passed away, as I mentioned, she was the pastor, and now Pastor Smith and First Lady is Sister Peggy, who are absolutely chosen by Sister Holland and the Lord to be. They couldn't be any more loving. And just every part of them is involved and say burden, but it doesn't even look like a burden. It's a deep desire to help others. We have our recovery class. Everything is built around helping those that are in need and going to those that are this past week, it was a privilege to take. I was contacted that there was a family, the five children, were some of the coldest weather we've had, and they didn't have any shoes. Before the day was over, we had shoes and coats, and God made a way. He makes a way. And, oh, yes, we're talking about, being a warrior, but it's a warrior of love. It's bringing the same love that brought Christ into this world. For God so loved, that love within us is what God, when he fills us with his Spirit, it's the love of God in us, flowing through us, making us the light and the salt to touch others and to influence them to turn their life around and be saved, born again. It's beautiful. It is so beautiful. And I'm jumping around with it, not staying right with the book as I usually do. But when Sister Holland, when I'd come back from the Arctic and I was, my health was really, really not good. And there were just a lot of things in my life that were personal, that were very hurtful. And immediately, she came to my aid. She came to my aid through her church. Before, I didn't even ask. It was just they knew there was a need. And they contacted me. And right away, when I came here to Mississippi, I was given a beautiful position as a teacher. And we worked with all the ministry and those that were interested in a minister's class. And we received 50 college credits for one semester. And it was really, really what I needed to restore my health and just to get me back on my feet. And then they sponsored and paved the way for me to go back to Rankin Inlet and be able to minister there again. It's a wonderful thing when a church, a pastor, the teachers, and the outreach all have one thing in mind, and that's working for God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what the Lord said, and loving. We're going to love Him, but we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that was, the Lord said, every law, every precedent is set in that one war. That's the war that we fight with ourselves, that we will do that, can't do that, unless we trust. We trust God and lay aside our own plans and follow Him. And He gives us, you know, so many illustrations. The Bible, I think it's so beautiful about the straight gate and the narrow way. And few there be that find it. But there is a broad way. There's a wide way. But the end thereof, the ways of death. And we are allowed to choose. And it's the grace of God that brings us through every war, every fight that we have. There was a story I want to share that it was written in the St. Louis Inspirational Christian. It was a connection of stories, true stories, and I don't actually have the author that wrote this, but there was, I know you've all, especially if you're a Christian, you've had an urge to pray for someone, and you didn't even really know when or why. There's been times in the last year I woke up and I was praying for my son, Wild Bill. And later on I found out that there was some situation that had occurred, a storm or something, that about that same time. And so God will, He will give us that little urge, or He'll wake us up, or He'll lay something on our heart. And so we really want to do that. We want to be obedient about it. But this following story, it said that this man was put, while serving at a small hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks he traveled by bicycle through the jungle to this particular city where he had to get supplies. And it was 2 days' journey, and it required in that 2 days for him to camp overnight at the halfway point. That was in the woods. On one of these journeys, he said, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank. I was going to purchase medicine. I needed to purchase supplies and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed two men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries, and at the same time, I talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then traveled 2 days overnight and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey, and upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man. He was the one I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money, and he knew that I carried medicines. And so they had planned with some of his friends to go into the jungle. And when he would camp overnight, they planned to kill him and to take his money and his drugs. But just as they were about to move into the camp, he said, I saw you surrounded by 26 armed guards. At this, the man, he just started laughing and said, I was certainly all alone out in that jungle campsite. I was alone. The young man pressed the point. However, no, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My five friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards. We were afraid, and we left you alone. At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day that all of this happened. The missionary told the congregation the exact date, and the man who interrupted told him this story. On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. It was about time for me to go when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong, called men in this church, meet me right away. We need to pray. All of those men met with me. And he said, would all of you men stand up, please? The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. There were 26. 26. One person obeying God led to a missionary being spared, and those armed guards represented the prayers that went up. As I mentioned about Sister Nona Freeman, there was a time she was in a ship coming back to the United States, some type of attack. She didn't know what it was, but she really felt like she was dying. She was praying. She was sinking. She could just feel herself. Something was really seriously wrong. There was no way to get any help on the ship. All of a sudden, it left her. She felt wonderful. She thought, wow, this is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. She gets to the United States, and she goes to a meeting, and a lady came up, and she said, Sister Freeman, I don't want to interrupt you, but where were you on a particular date? About would be your time would have been whatever, and they narrowed it down, and she says, oh, that was the time. I was on the ship, and I was very desperately sick. I said, well, the Lord woke me up and told me to earnestly pray for you and to continue. And then all of a sudden, after I obeyed, the burden lifted. And that must have been when God healed you. So back to being a soldier. Now we know there's things Jesus absolutely warned. There would be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be all types of things happen. We read about the Antichrist. We read about the spirit of Antichrist. We don't have to look far to see how many things have been polluted by the things of this world that have left our school systems, that leave the Word of God, came here to the United States. That was the basic reason that we came here, was to establish the freedom of the Word of God, and how beautiful and how wonderful it was, and how it was established. And then in just the last 100 years, maybe less, we can put all kinds of things in our school that represent all kinds of horrible idolatry, but we can't teach the Word of God. How bizarre. But see, this is not where we put our focus. We put our focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who gave us promise after promise. You know what? Be slow to anger and keep my spirit right. That's the war that I need to be focused on. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So I don't have to worry about those things that are out of my control. What I do have to be concerned about, not worry, but be concerned about, is my walk with my God. My focus, you know, I've talked about that before, about stepping up to the plate. We want to be balanced. We want to be on that straight gate, narrow way. We want to be balanced in the Word of God and in the plan of God and in God, in the faithfulness of our walk with God. And we want to have a plan that goes along with the Word of God, with the Scripture. We want to be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't have to listen to the news to find out the plan that God has for me. What I have to do is go into the Word of God and pray that God's will be done. That if it's like the Apostle Paul, if it's like the early church, if it's like what they did to Christ, we will live forever overcomers in the kingdom of God. And this world will pass away. And so our focus is to remain on the Lord. Romans 8, I want to read these scriptures here. For they that are after the flesh, you know, if we get all these other things on our mind, you know, that's all we think about. But if we think about spiritual things, talking about spooky things, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, then we're going to walk in the Spirit and fulfill. We will not be involved in carnal things. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what? If we're spiritually minded and we spent time with God, God will direct our path. He will show us the way, and he will lead us and guide us. That simple prayer, example prayer, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. For thine, O God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. We're in the Spirit if the Spirit is in us. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything about ourselves, like, oh, well, look at me, uh-huh. Our sufficiency is of God. May I exalt the Lord in my word, in my smile, in my thoughts, in my plans, in everything I endeavor to do that God would call me. Who also, God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Oh, I don't know if I know what to say. Well, I don't know if I, well, what did they say? Well, they may not like, well, you forget that, please. And focus on God who makes us able ministers. We're ministers of the New Testament, not just the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter can kill. We can argue all day. Oh, I'll go to this church. I'll go to that church. I'll believe this. Blah, 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 blah. No. Through the Spirit of God, through the love of God, that gives life. It gives life to us, and it gives life to others. And it works. Hallelujah, it works. I read the back of the book, and it works. I'm getting happy, you guys. Okay. Now, I want to read three more scriptures. In Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse, 16 and 17, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're called to be a missionary, be a missionary. If it's to the farthest part of the world or if it's to Walmart, if it's to Kroger's, if it's out on the street. I had the most wonderful experience this past week. I was in the Walmart parking lot getting ready to park and saw this family. I knew by the way that they were dressed that they were from India or somewhere like that. And I was so drawn to them. And I mean, the parking lot was packed. Everybody's shopping. And so I went around to see where they parked, but they were already getting in their car and I waved. And I thought, well, you know, I just really felt so drawn to them. So I drive on over to where I was going to deliver the shoes and the things for that family. And there they are, the whole family. It's five children, husband and wife, and then the grandmother and grandfather. They're all from Sri Lanka, I think they said. And I pulled around, and we began to talk. They took a picture, beautiful picture of all of us. And I have a little habit that I have, I'm calling or whatever, and I have a way that I can give a gift, and not money, but just a gift, and when God leads me to it. So I did. I gave the gift. And so they text me back, sent me the pictures, and thanked me for the gifts. And in the gifts, they will hear Sister Bobby Lively, Rapping Granny, and they will be introduced to what does the Word say, what does the plan of God say, singing the Word of God, and also the book that I'm quoting from partially tonight, Walking Through Woolly Worm. Oh, me. I'm having such a wonderful time this evening. So we have opportunities. I never thought I would have this one, believe me. And then for a while, Bill has encouraged me for I cannot tell you how long to do an audio of the book, and it seemed impossible. And then when COVID was so bad, one of the wonderful families in the church, Brother and Sister George, they brought me a little speaker-like recorder, and since I was closed in, there was, you know, a period of time we didn't go anywhere, even for church, and I recorded it. And then another young couple in the church took it and worked on it some. And then while Bill now is, I feel like really putting icing on the cake, because I get to comment with it, share with it, and then if you want to go to Spotify, or if you want to use these programs, as while Bill has said, and Sister Starla, come to download them. You can go to them. They're in the archives, and you can share part of them, all of them, however you would like to do. You can take them as an outline, use them yourself in your teaching if you would like to, however, it would make me happier than I can even describe to you to know that God is using it. And also, I mention this probably every time I talk about being a soldier for the Lord. When we look at, again, the Apostle Paul and how he wrote the book to the Ephesians, and in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10 through 18, this is a delightful portion of Scripture. You can teach it to children in just a few minutes. There's the hand signals, everything about it is very, very easy to teach and to actually get visuals. It's very good. And then for the Christian, to each day that you pray, every day that we pray, mentally, physically, spiritually, put on the armor of God. Here he says, finally, my brethren, this is the apostle, the Lord speaking through the Apostle Paul. Be strong in the Lord. How? In the Lord. And in the power of what? His might. He wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can put on the whole armor of God, and I can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser. He will go back into our life, and he will take something. And this is part of this, in this chapter, as you read. The Lord has shown me in counseling and in so many other things that when the enemy can plant a seed of bitterness or hatred or anything through the experiences of our life, then he'll work on that, and he'll work on that to want it to grow. And we talked about that in the last chapter. Go to those places by being led by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Take the Word. That's what will wash and cleanse us. How shall a young man cleanse his life? By the Word of God. Go with that light and that salt, led by the Spirit of God. Take the blood of Jesus. All of those things that happen, and we talk about it repeatedly in recovery. People that were abused as little children, people that have been forced to do things and be a part of things, and all of these different feelings that get encamped within us. God wants to go there and free us. Set us free from those things. And he will if we believe it. But Satan didn't want us to believe it. Oh, remember back in the garden with Eve? You'll not surely die. He's a liar. He wants to add a word or take away a word from the word of God. God said he came to set us free and make us free. And if he does, you're free indeed. And so am I. So anyway, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not people. It's not kingdoms of this world. It's the enemy. And when we pray, we can alter and turn things. And we can be in the perfect, full will of God, regardless of what goes on around us. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Not necessarily a person, but the wickedness that gets established in high places, idolatry, false religions, taking anything from away from the light and the cleansing that the Word of God gives, and can only be that that gives us power to overcome. So, verse 13, wherefore take unto you, now listen, the whole armor of God. The whole armor. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Does that mean that we would go through a time we would not be martyred, or we could say, Lord, I'm believing you for a Cadillac, and oh, I'm believing you because I'm a Christian, that I'll have a new home. Oh, get off of that, would you please? It means that if you don't have a new home and you have to walk, you're going to have victory in Jesus, your Savior forever, who sought you and bought you with his redeeming blood. Oh, hallelujah. We will be able to stand. And when we've done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I've told you before, I thought, ooh, I don't feel righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are a brand new creature in him. And our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, and we've armed ourselves, we're covered, but we take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're coming from us from every direction. Fiery darts, but the shield of faith. Faith, when the fiery dart says, you can't do this, the shield of faith is the word of God. I can do all things through my God who strengthens me. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is it? Which is the word of God. We come against the enemy with the word of God, and we deliver it with the fruit of the Spirit, is love. It's joy. You say, I can't have joy. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, you can. That doesn't mean it's the world kind of joy. It's an overcoming joy that I know that all of these things work together for my good because my God promised it. So take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now listen to this 18th verse. Praying always, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to pray for every, those I know and those I don't know. Those within the church, those without the church that are in mission countries. And wherever, pray. We can change everything by prayer. We gave that illustration about that man. He could have been killed, but look, 26 men were 26 armed angels, pretty much, that were there. And I have so many testimonies of times in my life where God would lead me to prayer, and I would find out it was the exact time and the exact way to turn whatever would have been devastating into something beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All of the confusion, God understands that. He created this world, but he's made a way. No way. He's made that way. God made it. He's a creator of all things, and he is not going to ever, ever leave us. I wanted to close my book, but I wanted to read that a little bit more about Sister Nona Freeman. She has been, I've only been privileged to see her in service three times. The last time, she was 90-something years old, and wow, what a move of God there was in the service. And one other time, her husband, she had gotten word where she was. They were in two different parts of Africa, I believe. They were definitely separated. And she got word that he was in a situation, I think, that I don't remember how many pints of blood he had to have, and there was no blood available in the area that he was. And she got the word, and she was praying, and the Lord spoke to her and said, only praise, only praise, just praise. And it was sort of ironic, but she had sort of fallen over into this big basket-like thing, and she was just praising God. She just kept on and praising God, and then somebody came and helped her get out of that, and she went on to where her husband was. And when she went into the hospital, she went into his room, and he was sitting up. Everything was just fine, and she said, what happened? He said, some angels came in, and they had all this blood, and they gave me the supernatural transfusion, and I'm fine. So see there? God knew that her worship and her praise was going to move in miraculous ways. This is what's called miracles, divine intervention in the natural order of things. I'll read this. She was a veteran missionary to Africa, one of the best-loved writers. She wrote many books. Nona and her husband, E.L. Freeman, began their life in 1948 in South Africa. They left the United States with their five children, ranging in ages from 9 years to 6 months. Can you imagine that? They spent the next 41 years in Africa, returning to the States on furlough every 7, 6, or 5 years. Even after her husband's death in 1999 at the age of 90, she continued to travel. She has many books and tapes available. These are still available. Her life story and Brother Freeman's, their entire life story, is available. After the passing of Sister Freeman's husband in 1999, she continued to travel as an evangelist and became a popular speaker in the Oneness Pentecostal groups. In January 2009, Sister Freeman suffered a stroke, which led to significant reduction of her previous schedule. In December, she entered hospice care, dying at home in 2009. 93 years old. 93 years old. Such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman of God. And you will be greatly encouraged by any book, anything that you read. And these are available at the Pentecostal, UPC Pentecostal Church. And I should have written that down, but it didn't have it here. I thought it did. But anyway, we can get that back to you if you're interested. And I'm sure if you just look her up now on Sister Nona, N-O-N-A, Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, and her books will be available. So it is now 10 o'clock, and I would like to give an opportunity for Wild Bill, if he is ready, to come on and put the icing on the cake.
Well, can chat for just a little while longer, because he is not ready.
he's not ready to come on well. I'd read this, I believe, but in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, what that is saying to me, to you also, but to me, we don't have to think of sometimes verbal arguing or establishing our side of a situation. You know, this is what causes sometimes even a church to break up or a marriage to break up. This is not what God is talking about. But we do have the ability, the mighty power through God to pull down strongholds. If there is something that the enemy is establishing, and we see that in government and whatever, in our neighborhoods and our families, we can pray. We can, through the Lord and through, that's our warfare, is when we wake up, pray. Through the day, find a place and pray. Shut yourself in with God and pray. Seek God with your whole heart. This is what where we fail. The warfare is not becoming so busy that we do not pray. Prayer will change things. It will make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those that we are associated with in church, on our jobs. God will change things if we will pray. And we want to have faith. You know, I read of the whole armor of God. But Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing what? The word of God. Hear the word of God. Again, back at the first Psalm, meditate upon the word of God. And you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you do will prosper. This is the promise of God. And this is something that we can depend upon and trust in. And we don't have to let, I've told this so many times, but it's so outstanding to me that in the 12th grade, when I was 12 years old and I was in Detroit, I had never played basketball. I had never played any kind of sports at all. It just was not a part of my life. And you didn't have a choice. You did sports. You did your swimming classes, which was a horrible catastrophe for me. But she was really a student, but when she would come up to me when we were playing basketball, I had one desire, give her the ball. And I can't tell you how horrified I was. It was just, I froze. It was just, and so the young girl that was over our team, she took me aside and she said, when that girl gets in front of you with all of her emotion, don't look at her. Do not look at her. Now, up until then, I had been looking at her eye to eye, freezing. And then it was so emblazoned in my mind how it was. And this has been, I'm 83, and it's been that long, but I can still remember that day. Anyway, my fellow helper, she said, look at me. I will be where you can see me. Look past all of the obstruction and everything. Look past that and look at me, and then throw me the ball. Don't even think about anything else. Well, I'm not sure I did it the first time, but once I caught on, that girl made a basket every time because everybody was so centered in trying to get me to drop the ball or do whatever or do something wrong. But when I threw it to her, now this is the point of this, please. Throw it to Jesus. He'll make a basket every time. He's done it. He's already done it. Don't try to hold on to the calamity. In prayer, say, Lord, I give this to you, Lord. Grant me the direction. Grant me the love that I need. Grant me what I want to make a basket in heaven. I hope I didn't mess that up because it's so real to me. And I've shared it. And in jail, that don't look at all of the calamity. Look to Jesus and give it to Jesus. And it works. It just really, really works. So give it to him. And there's so many scriptures here that I had. Now there's a whole lot being said about demonology and demon spirits and all that kind of thing. You know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Come against satanic influences in the name of Jesus and by the power of Jesus through the blood of Jesus. And there was a story in the Bible about it says the seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests. The evil spirit answered and said, oh, they were coming against this evil spirit and they want to cast them out in the name of Jesus. But they weren't Christians. They weren't believers. They were just mimicking this. The demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then they jumped on him and the evil spirit leaped on him and overcame him, and they took off naked and wounded, it said. So we don't want to be presumptuous. We don't want to just say, well, I read that in the Bible and I saw them do that. And I heard, no, We do it one-on-one with our God. We repent of our sins. We're baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. We're baptized in water, submerged completely, washed by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And then we walk uprightly before our God. And when Satan comes around, once he sees given us, we're okay because God planned it that way. Does that mean we won't hurt or we won't have problems? No, please don't think I'm saying that. What it means is that we're made overcomers by everything that comes our way, and we are granted eternity with God forever and ever and ever. And then he gives us the power and the love. Love, joy, peace. I said that before, but say it to yourself every day. I've got peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's not about my understanding. It's about the peace of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I don't have to slam my buggy into somebody at Walmart because they jumped in front of me. No, let that be a light and a witness to all the others that you smiled and said, they must be in a hurry. Go right ahead. This is our opportunities to love the Spirit of God for others to see it. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. We've got it. He gave it to us all in his Spirit. Now, is Wild Bill anywhere around?
No, he isn't. I'm sorry.
Aw. I always look so forward to hearing what he's got to say, because everyone else is. I think I've shared this with you before. I think Sister Jill, she listens sometimes to the archive, and she doesn't mean it to make me feel bad, but she gets a whole lot more out of what Wild Bill says than what I say. And no, it's the icing on the cake. We need both of them. I didn't make that sound like I felt sorry for myself, but I'd read this before in Acts 4:29. We're in a real world, and we know that there are things that threaten our safety and our country and whatever. But the Lord, when we go to him, threatened. In Acts 4:29, grant, O God, grant unto us, your servants, your soldiers, boldness that we'll speak your word in every situation, not necessarily to somebody else, but to ourselves. Lord, I can do this. I can do all things through you. Lord, I can love because you fill me with your love. You know, say it, believe it, and ask God to make the difference. And when we feel weak and we feel like we've just gone through more than we can actually go through anymore, And it hurts. It hurts when we lose loved ones. A dear, dear friend of mine, mom, passed today. And you can't make that go away, but we can believe for God, peace and love and what we need to go through it, the strength that we need, the power that we need. That be this Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power when? When do we receive power? After the Holy Ghost has come upon us. The Holy Ghost is our power, and we're witnesses. So we're not only witnesses in all these areas, but we're witnesses to ourselves. Lord, I know through your Spirit I can do this. I can be everything that you want me to be and you designed me to be, because it's your plan for my life. And when you look at the little, back to the, well, then this book, the Isabella Tiger Moth, see the beautiful moth when you look at the caterpillar. You don't. But the transformation takes place because God designed it that way. And when we're born again, when we live for God, the transformation of every situation, it takes place. We may not actually even see it, but we believe it. And faith is what comes against the enemy and shields us with that every fiery dart that he would try to bring upon us. So, you know, again, back to the soldier, we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure. Endurance takes grace. We cannot do that without the grace of God. This is why we have faith to believe in the grace of God, because that's the power and the strength that we have available to us. And so I don't know if you want to beat me or something when he's ready. There was a funny little story that, you know, talking about being a soldier for the Lord and being, you know, being the Lord's army. There's a lot of people that COVID and different things kept them from being faithful to church. And I know there are situations. I mean, we all know that for sure. But coming to the house of God it's very, very important. And sometimes when I feel mostly discouraged about going and press through that, that's some of the best services I've ever been in my life. But this is supposed to be a true story about a man that was, he was at church, and the pastor shook his hand and he said, "Oh, I'm just so glad you're here." He said, "You need to come and be faithful in the army of the Lord." And the young man said, I am part of the army of the Lord." And he said, "Well, I don't hardly ever see you. He said, "Well, I'm in the Secret Service." And I guess he thought that was a good answer, but actually what he meant was he had an excuse. And when I was at BB Arkansas, one of the most I had was I called and I wasn't going to come to church. And there was some reason I felt like I had an excuse. I'm sure I did. And the pastor's wife said, "Oh, you're going to lay out a church." And that was all I needed to hear. Lay out a church? That's a whole lot different than just missing church. And from then on, those words kept me. And it wasn't meant to be hateful. It was not meant to be hateful at all. That was one of the most gentle, wonderful, sweetest women I've ever known in my life. It was what I needed to hear. Don't lay out a church. Be faithful to the house of God. And the Bible bears that out. Be faithful to the house of God. And
we don't have him yet.
We need to practice what I preach and start praying. If that soldier will show up. Come on, soldier, we need you before you run out of time. One of the things I was going to mention was we still do this sometimes in a Sunday school class. It's an illustration where we call it gossip, and one child, you tell them something, you tell them to tell the next child, and it goes all the way around the room with them just saying it one time. And by the time it gets to the end of around the class, it is bizarre what it says from what you began to say. And this is so much like the enemy wants to do this to us. He really wants us to. He'll tell us something, and then, you know, we'll tell it to someone else, and they'll tell it to someone else. And this empowers him. This empowers Satan. We must be very, what we speak, the Bible says there's life and there's death in our tongue. We need to speak life. And also, I want to put this in here, as a soldier in the army, you wore a uniform, you had restrictions. Now you joined, you could just join right away. But then you had boot camp, and you had to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to sit and how to shoot guns if you did, and how to do all of the things that soldiers have to do. And so, you know, we can be born again, but sometimes there's a boot camp, or for me, for sure, where you learn from the Word of God how to walk, how to talk, how to dress. It's not somebody telling you or making you do it. The Word of God is very explicit, and it shares these things with on how to be holy and how to be righteous and good and clean and an example, a light to the world around us, and salt to flavor every situation and to enhance it. This is what God wants us to do, and that's his plan for us. And if we'll do it, we will find a peace that passes all understanding, for sure. There's several scriptures, but I would love to hush and let you know who speak. But I wanted to mention that we have preconceived ideas about things and an incorrect perception. These things feed, well, I referred to a while ago. I might decide that certain things are whatever, and that's my perception, maybe because I was raised that way, or maybe it's a preconceived idea because of an experience I had. But that is not grounds for the influence that we try to have. The grounds is back to the total and filling of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and the Word of God. This is the pattern that we keep our focus on. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. So Sister Lively didn't make that up. Words to the Corinthian church. God is the author. The Apostle Paul wrote these things. And we now can glean so much from this. He said, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, speak the same thing. Don't be divided. Be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. We can't do that unless we're walking with the whole armor of God, staying yielded to the Lord. And so, again, I'm hoping. Does anyone want to say anything?
I'm sorry, he's not going to be able to speak tonight, but if anybody else would like to say anything or ask Sister Lively a question, just push 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. We have no takers.
Well, this is just my night to howl, I guess.
you're so doing fun. Wonderful.
But, oh, you're just so kind, but if we will just be go to the Word of God like it, that James 1:19, be swift to hear. I mean, hear or hear what? What's on the news? What's on some of the stupid whatevers? No, hear what the Word of God says, quickened and anointed by God, by the Spirit. It is so beautiful. And many people have shared this repeatedly with me. They will read a scripture for years, and then as they pray and they read the same scripture, they will hear deeper truth, something that they can apply to a current situation that gives light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Think about that. If you want to know, then go to the one that has all the answers. And he gave it to us in his word. And there was several other scriptures, but I didn't put those all together because I thought Wild Bill was going to be here. So, but I pray that he is okay. The weather is so bad. We're having, I think we'll have down to almost zero, they think. This Friday. So we just pray that I don't set the house on fire, which I won't. People have said that to me, and I think that's so mean y'all to say that to me, as if I did it on purpose. But anyway, I praise God that I did get out of it, and God brought me through it, and he's brought me through so many things in my life. He's such an awesome, 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 loving God. Now, next week, if everything goes according to plan, we will do chapter 22. The name of that chapter is Wrap Up. Isn't that good? Because we're going to wrap up. Actually, I have added an addendum, and we will be talking about the parts of the Bible that sometimes we take for granted, that when God refers to himself, we know that his name is Jesus. There's none other name under heaven. We know that that is the name, Jesus. But when it talks about God being our advocate, that was the first one because I used the alphabet A to Z. But I discussed that with several people even this day. And that's, he is our advocate. If we were in a court and you had someone, you know, when everybody was maybe lying or whatever, and you had that advocate that spoke truth and it could set everything straight. And when Jesus took our sin, it wasn't his sin. He washed us absolutely, completely justified, never done it. We're justified. Not because he had, but because we had. He was our advocate. Oh, hallelujah. If you just stop and think about that just a second, and you think about what he did, all of the horrible things that he went through. Why? Because I was a sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, bound by the enemy, and God set me free. He was my advocate. And victory in Jesus, those types of songs are always just flood my soul with joy, with just overflowing joy for the Lord, because he is such a wonderful, loving, loving God. And one of the things, and I will bring out several things about the NIV next week, and I want you to understand that I'm not coming against the NIV. I want to point out and educate some certain facts that people need to know about the difference between the King James and the NIV. Also, there are people that really attack anybody that follows the King James. So you say, well, this is too complicated. This makes me, you know, it makes me not even want us to look into it. But again, you're a soldier and you press in. The Bible, Jesus, John, every one of them talks about that. We're warriors. We press in. We give 100% of our attention to the Lord, and he will show us the way. When I read Psalms 119, I almost wore Wild Bill out on it. It's 176 verses. I have somewhere around, I cannot tell you how many Bible studies I have on it. Sister Starla helped me one time as we went through some of it on the blog. It just fascinates me, the fact that it's centered around the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. The first eight verses is Aleph. And Aleph, when Jesus in Revelation said he is Alpha and Omega. Now, this is where we get the word alphabet. He is the beginning and he is the end. And 40 verses to the word of God. And it is such a blessing. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, each eight verses. And you can read the history of it, but it is so fascinating. So you want to be a soldier that has on the whole armor of God and that is armed with the word of God to shield yourself from the fiery darts of the enemy and to come against any lie, any attack that Satan would bring your way. You are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. In Revelation, we have that. And so now I would love for Sister Starla, would you like to share something?
Well, I have so enjoyed tonight, and I do so love Nona Freeman. I enjoyed the, you know, what you've shared about her life, and I've listened to countless tapes and, you know, about her journeys in Africa, and I so appreciate you sharing that tonight. I really like that. My favorite is the story of the 26 men. That, to me, that is so amazing. It just shows you what God can do.
And it's so much fun to hear these stories. It's just, it builds your faith because there's so much negativity everywhere, seems like. And we can share these stories and it builds our faith and it makes us happy. And anything about a missionary, I am absolutely, I just cannot tell you what studying about Amy Carmichael, Nona Freeman, and other missionaries. There was one, can't recall, well, it was James Hudson Taylor. Yes, that was in here. And he was responsible. He brought 800 missionaries to the country, and they founded 125 schools, and that was in China. And, you know, this is wonderful that one person can have, when they obey God and they become that soldier that they're called to be, what can be accomplished? It's not them. It's them being that soldier, and then God accomplishes it. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not us, but they are mighty. As I said before, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, if we will be that soldier, then God will pull down the strongholds that come against his plan in people's lives. And it's just been such a blessing to do the program tonight. And I do, again, want to thank you and Wild Bill for giving me the opportunity. It's really a privilege. It's an encouragement during the holidays. We're not in the same states. And I know that God has called me here, and I know that y'all are to be there. So to have the broadcast each week and have that fellowship, because I feel the Holy Spirit, I feel the prayers that y'all have offered up to make this work and the anointing that's on the blog program because of y'all. And I trust that it will go forth and encourage and strengthen. And again, if anybody wants the actual book, Amazon, I know, has it. I don't know the details about it. I've contacted them. I order the books and I give them away, but I can't do that if I have to mail them because it's too expensive. But it's a very good book. I believe the Lord gave it to me, and it's a good outline, and it contains a lot of my life. And as I've read back through it, I've been healed again by the memories of how God came into my life. There was one time that I didn't know if Rhonda Joy, she'd been very, very sick. Her fever came up so high one night, and I called the doctor. He said he was preparing me for something very serious to bring her the first thing in the morning. And my uncle pastored near there, and I asked Jim if he would watch the children. I went over there, and when they took prayer requests, I literally had a meltdown. And everyone joined around me and began to pray and cry out to God for Rhonda. And when I got home, her fever was completely gone, and never, ever did she have another attack like she had been having. And God is God, and He is an awesome God. And we are His soldiers, but we have to go forth in Jesus' name. So that's all for tonight for me, and thank you again.
Well, thank you so much that you're doing this for us. And I know our listeners have enjoyed it as much, too. So I have so much appreciation for what you just did, what you've been. And so, and I love you, and I'm looking forward to next week, although I'll be sad. It is the last chapter, isn't it?
It is. It's a wrap-up.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your life with us. I do so appreciate it. Well, we want to thank our listeners for being with us again this week. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I just had to say I love you.
Oh, well, I love you so much. And I am so blessed. God has blessed me beyond words with you.
Thank you.
Guess we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night and Merry Christmas.